this guy doing this? He's doing this because he's for freedom. He's for freedom. You were built to be free. Let them be free. You should be free. Your family should be free.
Well, I hope that gets us excited. How y'all doing this morning? So good. Just want to welcome you. Hey, can you help us give a welcome to our online family? We're so grateful that you're with us as well. Okay, you can clap better than that for them. Hey, we're so glad. Yes, that's a, we are grateful. Even though you're in your jammies and yeah, you got to sleep in that extra hour and not get dressed like the rest of us. No, I'm just kidding. Well, today what we're going to do is a little bit different. We're going to do a panel, and I'm going to share just a little bit, and then I'm going to invite Ethan and Audrey up to come and share, because I believe God is doing something really special in them, and it's not just for them, it's for our house. And so we're kind of framing this as what's been going on in the last couple weeks. We just had a wonderful conference last week called More Love, More Power. How many of you were able to go to that? So good. Yes, and a couple weeks before that, we had our Reverb Youth Conference, and God just did a lot of it. Yeah, we can give a woo for that. I'm flying through that. Let me just say this. When you take time, when you set aside time for Jesus, he takes it seriously. He's attracted to our hunger. And so I believe he really wants to meet with us this morning because you've set aside time for him, and he's attracted to your hunger for more. Now, More Love, More Power, we always have a theme every year, and this year we really pressed into the theme of freedom, setting captives free, and we kind of undergirded it with this verse, these words from Jesus himself, from John 8:36, that he says this, so if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. And this word indeed means truly free. It doesn't just mean a little bit more free or partially free. It means absolutely, actually free. I love Di was sharing during the conference, and she kind of did a play on words. You will be free indeed in your actions. Your actions will show the freedom. And what Jesus is really trying to imply here is that you're not truly free unless the Son does it. You can think about that for a minute. And I know many of you, you came to More Love, More Power. We saw so many beautiful healings and deliverance and freedom, and the hunger just rose up and callings into his kingdom. It was beautiful. We even saw lots of baptisms. It was wonderful. I want to share one quick story. This is actually from a former member of our church. Their family now lives up north. They moved 15 years ago to join a church plant. But she writes this. On Friday, my 11-year-old son decided he wanted to go to the breakout session on deliverance. I warned him that the content might not be G-rated, but he assured me that he was ready. I grew up in this house, so I had faith and trust that he would be in good hands with Di, Daniel, and the Holy Spirit. During Ben's evening message, I was holding back nausea, pain, and a really disgusting feeling in my stomach. I knew I would be delivered from something that night. Little did I know that my son would be right next to me, laying hands on me, contending for and proclaiming my freedom, while I gagged, coughed, and retched up at least three demons. He knew just what to say, and when it was over, he handed me a tissue to clean up my face and fluttered on to the next person to pray for. Thank you, Vineyard family, for equipping the saints, even the little ones. My family's trajectory in the kingdom is forever changed. Wow. Even 11-year-olds. I mean, that is amazing. Now, if you're newer to our church, you might have been a little shocked by the mention of the word demons. So I just want to give a little context to that. Luke 10, he sends his 12 and his 72 disciples, and he says this, announce this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and here's what that looks like. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And I'm sure you can look around the world and realize, wow, the enemy is still at work. right? And we get to set captives free, even if you're an 11-year-old. How about that? That is so good. So man, we had so many mountaintop experiences. Like their conferences can often be catalytic. They're holy moments. But as we were praying about today and just asking the Lord, what are you doing? We really sensed this. See, sometimes breakthrough doesn't come on a mountaintop. It comes in a valley. See, sometimes breakthrough can happen through our weakness. Now, it almost sounds kind of strange to say it after we had such powerful weeks in his presence, powerful gatherings. But what God is doing in many of us is he's bringing a lot of freedom through our weakness. And as we were thinking about this, it kind of harkens to a message that Paul often shared. He says it to the Corinthian church. He says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Some of you know that verse. You know, Paul, he deals with all this like hardship, and he's often writing in his letters, "Man, I'm pressed in at all sides." And this one time, he asks Jesus to free him from, he calls it a thorn in the flesh, which with these people that were just harassing him. And this is how Jesus answered him this time. He goes, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Then he goes, "Therefore, I boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Yeah, that's a powerful verse, but it doesn't feel powerful. Because when you have to go through weakness, it's not a great experience. Now, I do want to just make kind of some theological clarity point as we talk about weakness, because this can be a little misunderstood sometimes. And the one thing I want to mention is that weakness does not mean that God is causing our suffering, right? He does not use darkness to get his purposes done. God does not do that. In fact, in 1 John 1, he says, "God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all," right? So we have to realize when we talk about weakness, we're not saying that God is causing it. What we're saying is we live in a broken world where a lot of weakness happens. And that is the place where God will often meet us with his grace. You know, sometimes it's the place where we feel the most empty is the very place that God shows his power the strongest. You know, I've really over the last several weeks been experiencing this weakness in my life. Like, it was definitely mentally and spiritually, but really physically. Over the last 7 weeks, sickness has just ravaged our household. I don't think there was one week that not someone was sick, and several weeks, all of us were sick, and it got so serious, we had to take one of our little ones to the ER, put them on an IV. It was terrible, and when you're in a place like that, when you're just feeling beaten down and you're feeling weak, it starts to mess with your faith. It starts to make you doubt. It starts to make you go, "God, are you even hearing any of my prayers?" And then you come into a conference like that and you're trying to pray for people and you're like, "Lord, I don't have it. I don't have anything." It's like you're really beginning to experience his power is made perfect in weakness. I don't know about you, but I don't like to look weak. I like to look strong. I like to look and say, "Hey, look what just happened. Look what I did," right? We all kind of often have that perspective. Like, look at what I was able to do. But when we're weak, when we don't have it in us, and then God still moves and brings freedom. God still moves and brings healing through your life. All you can say is, "Lord, that was all you." That is all you. Your power is made perfect in weakness. So this is where we want to go today. And so I want to invite up, would you help me welcome Ethan and Audrey as they come up and share with us today. And I want you to listen what the Lord is doing in them as an invitation. You know, there's a verse that says that, which verse am I going to share? Oh, yes, we overcome him. We overcome the enemy, listen to this, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we overcome him, the enemy, by what Jesus did for us, but also what Jesus is doing in us. And so this is an invitation to all of us that he wants to do it in your life as well. So this is Ethan. Some of you know him. He's a worship leader, a worship or production director. And Ethan carries a lot of maturity. What I've appreciated about you is you are a true pastor to our worship community. You are such a gift. I think you've been part of our church about 5 years now.
Something like that.
Something like that. And one just special thing I do want to note, because this is a very, very special day in Ethan's life, because it was the day he was born. This is his birthday today. Woo! So we're going to say happy birthday in 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So, Ethan.
Now that's over with.
The Lord has been doing some powerful stuff in your life in the last few weeks specifically. So would you just share with us?
Yeah. Really honored to be up here. And honestly, we can give a round of applause to Daniel too, really. The MLMP, all that. This guy's the beginning of it, and he runs the whole thing, and a lot of our encounters that we have, Daniel made a space, and I'm super grateful for that, so thank you, and thank you for having both of us up here. Yeah. Really honored. Really, I would say this encounter story for me starts at Reverb. That's our annual youth conference. We all go a couple hours away and get blasted by God and come back and tell our friends. And students, they're on fire for God. We know this. And honestly, it's a youth conference, but if you're leading at this youth conference, you might even get blessed even more, because, I mean, it changes our lives. So, and it changed my life. And so, really, before Reverb, our church went into like a 40-day fast together. And I felt that God was inviting me to do like an extended fast. And I didn't go 40 because that's insane. But I did some. And the Lord revealed my weakness. And that was the goal. And so success. Good for God. And so I felt really tender by that the Lord was just meeting me in that weakness. Then headed into Reverb. These kids don't stop. They have so much energy. They love God so much. And they do it so early and so late that it dogs me. And it's incredible. And I love them. But there was one night in particular. It was Saturday night at Reverb. And God was just, he was like, it was just increasing the entire weekend, and then Saturday night hit, and it was just like God's glory was like so heavy in the room. It really felt like God was breaking a lot of us, and then it was just came to a point to where it was like the sky cracked open, and there Jesus was, and we were just worshiping him. I think Kirsten was leading a song. She was having a great moment in worship and getting encountered by God. And I'm like, we have to sing Shout to the Lord. So I think I just ripped the mic off and I'm like, let's sing Shout to the Lord. And for about 15 minutes, just like unrestrained praise in the room. And I was like, instruments just like stop. And we were just shouting, praising, singing Shout to the Lord. And it was in that moment, something broke off of me. I'm still unpacking that, if I'm being honest with you. But God's glory rested in the room and changed my life and lit a fire in me that is still going. So there's that. And I think we have a video.
Shout, and I sing for joy at the word going. Let's sing it again!
Yeah! Oh, man. Woo. I thought I looked a lot cooler when I was doing it. But God's power was so tangible in the room. I just didn't care what it looked like. And that's just been released, I think, across this church in general, just like not caring what it looks like. But it was a deeper work. It was like all the culmination of what God has done in my life. And it's just like, he's worthy of my praise. Yeah, we say that. But it's another thing to actually live that out. And what does it look like for God to be worthy of your entire life? It doesn't look like just jumping around on stage and screaming, shout to the Lord, though that's how it looked there. It actually looks like a lot of other things that I'll talk about. What an incredible moment. I was so tired after that. And I got home and I got instantly extremely sick. And like to the point that my wife was out of town and I was just... It was just me and my younger daughter, and I couldn't get out of bed. And I was like, what in the world? Like mountaintop moment just to valley. Really tough. And it just lingered until the beginning of MLMP. I was really, really worried. I was like, we have some guests coming in, some friends, and I'm excited to lead worship with them. I'm excited to hang out with them. And I just did not feel it. I wanted to look impressive. I wanted to put on a good impression. I wanted to be a good host. All these things I wanted. You're hearing me talk a lot about me right now. I want this, I want that. I want to look a certain way, I want this. And I just didn't have anything in me to support that. So my flesh was dead. And so what do we do when that happens? The Lord was magnified in that. And so we get to MLMP and I'm just not feeling it and still sick. I feel like I'm like 30% and 30% well. And night one comes, everyone's like, hey man, God's on you. And I'm like, I feel terrible. God's not on me. and it just kept happening. It got a little bit annoying. I'm like, I don't know what you see. And then in the green room, we pray before the MLMP sessions, which were pretty powerful. And Mike Yoder, one of our senior pastors, is like, you know what, Ethan, God's on you. Why don't you open us in prayer? And I'm like, cool. Yeah, I'd love to. But it turned from like a God in a moment was like I had a little resistance. And then he was just like, I have you right where I want you. And like what Daniel said, it's not like he didn't inflict all this sickness and pain and valley on me, but he was using that very thing to show that in my weakness, like he is made strong. And so I think I just raised my hands and started praying. I don't know what I prayed. It's not important, but I sat down and I was just exhausted and just in this place of needing God bad. John Hutchison comes over, one of our pastors, and he puts his hand on me and it just felt like the presence of God just like funneled and just hit me. I started weeping. I hit my knees and I just, out of my mouth, I was just like, I'm so empty. And John's like rubbing my back. He's like, yeah, you've never led like this before, have you, brother? Yeah, this is awesome. And it's like, praise God for you. But he was real, like God was changing me in that moment. It's like, I've never led like this. No, why would anyone ever want to lead like this? And God's like, this is exactly where you want to lead from because your flesh is gone. And it's so like that propelled to the entire week of MLMP where again and again, God filled me and he filled me again and he filled me again and again. And again, it was overwhelming the amount of times God filled me. And what does that look? It looked like, I mean, it looked like laughing. It looked like sobbing. It looked like, I don't know, falling to my knees, looked like falling over. It looked crazy, but it was like I was not in control and I just wanted to be yielded to God because his presence is, I crave it. Yeah. And it's life. He is life. And so that just like, that reality just hit me. And I remember Friday morning, Ben Fitzgerald starts talking about eternity. Crazy. And starts talking, like, some of you are going to start seeing this, and some of you are going to start thinking about loved ones and friends that that aren't saved. Like, and some of you are going to weep over them. And the Lord brought a family member to my mind, and I'm like, I'm doing all the right things in this, God. I don't know why that person's popping in my mind. And I just felt the need to like get on the floor and pray. And as I hit the floor and put my face in the carpet, it felt like God just brought his compassion for this person. And I started weeping and praying and interceding over this family member. And I don't think I've ever prayed like that ever. It was different. It came from a different place. And when I got up, it was like, yeah, I have like work to do. It's cool if I'm like having a moment over there, but I have work to do. And so, you know, God filled me again and again and again after that. And we get the day off on the Monday after MLMP. And I was putting one of my girls down for a nap and I heard the Lord just saying, now you have that phone call to make, right? I was like, yeah, of course, I've got the phone call to make. It was actually my joy to do it. Call this person, this family member, and they're sobbing on the other end of the phone. So there's definitely something happening with them. And I kind of hear them out. And I said, hey, let me give you some context for why I'm calling. My heart towards you was unrepentant. I grew numb and callous towards you. I said, I'm not even saying that you're right in what you did. Because this family member, there was a lot of like harsh things and abuse and a lot of pain. Not even saying you're right. What I'm saying is when I tried to protect myself, I let myself become calloused and I had to repent for how I saw you. And so I think God right now is asking some of us, maybe there's someone in your mind where you're like, they've wronged me. And they're like, can you forgive them? Can you repent for your heart towards them? It's a really humbling place to be, let me tell you. Long story short, that family member was like, I was about to make a really bad decision when you called, like an eternal decision when you called. And I was like, wow. And so I said, you know what? I know all the things that you've done and there's no shame right here. Like I literally felt like she could tell me the worst thing and I could have been like, it's okay. And I told her that. And, I was like, would you like to repent? Would you like to just confess about anything? And I feel like that burden's gonna lift off you. And they begin to repent of things that they did the night prior. They begin to repent of all these things. There's a laundry list of people to forgive. I said, let's name them and let's forgive. Praise God for, you know, just things that I've learned here at the Vineyard that I was able to walk them through that. Very thankful. And then they recommitted their life to Jesus. And I want to preface too, it was more about my obedience in that moment. Was I willing to humble myself to the point for like in that moment, because I don't know what decision they're going to make. Truly. Like I actually don't know what decisions they would make when I've hung up the phone. And so I have to trust that God is going to take care of them. And it's you obey and you let God do the rest of the work. And they sent me a text after that. They're like, hey, this sin issue in my life, I was actually able to say no to that for the first time after we got off the phone. That's happened twice. And so God's really doing something in that. But I do feel like this invitation, when I was really broken, God brought his presence and his presence changed me. Forever. And that was like 2 weeks ago. And so I think your life could be changed today if you just let God, if there's anywhere in your life where you feel the slightest unction to let God put his finger on that, that's available today. There's freedom for it and there's freedom in your families and there's freedom for you. And I think just putting yourself plainly before the Lord this morning is going to pay off and it's gonna be for freedom.
I kind of feel that there's some presence on that right now. And we're going to do all kinds of different ministry today. But if that is resonating with you, I think God wants us to kind of start something right now. Would you just put your hand on your heart? And Ethan, would you just kind of pray the Lord to begin his work? So if that's you, just, you know, you can just close your eyes, put your hand on your heart.
Yeah, Jesus, thank you that you're close right now. I thank you that you are near to the brokenhearted. And any pain, any weakness that we have, you actually took that upon yourself. And so would you come close right now in the places where you want to put your finger and say, can we work on that right now? Would you magnify that? And Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace that covers. And I just speak to shame, and I just reject shame right now in Jesus' name. Things that are hidden, I just think are coming to the surface, and it's not for shame, it's for freedom. And so, Lord, would you even begin to work on our hearts and show us how to respond to this today in Jesus' name.
Thank you for sharing, Ethan. That's really powerful. Mm-hmm. Now, Audrey, you also had some beautiful encounters with the Lord in kind of a different way. Now, Audrey is part of our worship team. She plays the violin. She's also a college leader with TVC College. And yeah, all the shout outs. And then she's also part of our communications team. So would you just share what the Lord has been doing in you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's on. All right. Well, thank you, Daniel. And as he said, I'm a part of TVC College, and I was thinking about it like earlier during the 9 a.m. service. But 3 years ago, like right around this time, actually, like I made the decision to like change and start coming here. And like, I think just thinking about how much he's changed my life, like to the point where like I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm just like, it blows my mind every single time I think about it. But along with him changing my life, he like let me bear witness to this beautiful story that he's been unraveling in TVC College. And I truly, like, there's no way to put it into words what he's been doing, but it's like ever since I've joined 3 years, like around 2.5, 3 years ago, it's just like, you cannot help but feel that God wants to do something on this campus. You cannot help but feel that something will change. And it's just, it's so weighty. And I don't know, before I show like a video of a prayer that I prayed at MLMP, I think one thing that I was really taking away from what you were saying this time around was just the importance of posturing yourself. And I was thinking about how he postured himself when he didn't even feel like it. It's like you got on your knees and you let your face touch the carpet and you felt nothing until you did that. And I think it's the same thing with if you want a heart for the lost, you posture yourself and you ask. You might not feel like it, and he will make you feel like it. So, I'm just going to have them play the video from National Collegiate Prayer Day and posture yourself, I suppose. Father, this prayer is serious. It's serious business, God. I was driving through campus today and I was like, why hasn't it not changed? Why does it look the same? I can't see this anymore. I'm done with this. I'm done with the bars being longer lines than church. I'm done with my classmates being filled with depression and anxiety instead of the Holy Spirit. It's all fake. God is the only truth. Father, would you open their eyes? Would you open each and every one of these students in the river? Open their eyes, Father. This is an army. Lord, do you see the army? Lord, you made the army. Each and every one of them, God. We want each and every one of them. We want each and every one of them, God. We want them all, God. We want them all. We want them all, God. We want them all. So, Father, would you open the gates of Shul? Thank you, God. open the gates, God. Let the river flow. Let it flow out of this church, into the parking lot, onto Lincoln Avenue, somehow into Chicago. Lord, we want it all. Every state, every nation, everyone. More, Lord. Every time I hear that, I'm like, dang, I was like breathing really loud. I was crying. Okay, so I say this is serious. What are we talking about? Well, I think that one thing I was realizing is that I had no idea. I was like, oh, God, I don't think I'm serious. But I think it's twofold. And I'm going to talk about what the Lord, like, did in me, but I also feel like this is important to clarify first, is that this is serious is realizing first that God is really serious about this. And one thing that I think really helped me to, or has been helping me to realize this, is realizing that none of this is normal. And I think I've talked about this a little bit in college, but the idea that, like, people getting set free, people getting delivered, like, that is not a normal thing. Like, we serve a God that does impossible things. Yes. And sometimes we act like it's just supposed to happen. And it's like, this is not normal. None of this is, like, what are we doing? And so I think, I don't know, it's just crazy to me. And I wanted to talk about my brother specifically because my family's been praying for him for 12 years. And I Googled incessantly is the right word. We've been praying incessantly for my brother for 12 years. And he came to this conference on a whim. He, like, booked his ticket 2 days before. He shows up, and within 48 hours, he gives his life to the Lord and gets baptized. And I think this is such a testimony to what the Lord is doing in this house. Like, one, what he does in his presence is, like, it's just, there's no way to put it other than, like, when he is here, things happen. But also, there's something going on here that causes chains to break off so quickly, so quickly. And it's like, are we, like, open your eyes? Like, this is crazy. This is crazy. And so I think just realizing God is so serious about this, but then also, because he is so serious about it and because he cares about this so much, I want him to know that I care too. And I think that he wants you all to show him that you care. And that also doesn't even come from yourself. Like, that comes from him too. And so basically the encounter that I had at More Love, More Power was actually right before this prayer. And the entire, I went into the conference initially just wanting God, and because we've seen all these things in college, and it's like you just know that something's gonna happen, but it's like maybe there's just something wrong with me, and that's why something hasn't happened yet. Maybe we just need to, like, figure something out, or, like, repent from something, or, like, maybe there's just, like, one more tool I need to, like finally see the breakthrough. And so I'm, like, coming into More Love, More Power, like, okay, God, like, I want to meet with you, and I'm, like, hungry. I'm so hungry. And there's, like, all these moments where, like, I was just getting all these realizations from the Lord. I'm like, wow, God, you're so good. Like, this is great. But my posture was so wrong. Like, it was like, what can I do to, like, do what you need me to do? And he's, like, so gently, but also not gently, because I was sobbing for, like, 45 minutes, was like, your self-sufficiency is in the way of me being able to give you my strength. And so when you don't let yourself become, make him, when you do not let him make you weak, he cannot make you strong. And so I think kind of the opposite end of Ethan, I came into More Love, More Power totally fine. And some of you might be totally fine. And that's great. That's really comfortable. But God's doing something crazy. And you can't do that by yourself. You just can't. And so I was in that room, and John Hutch just has the prayer. I don't know. I was going to say something that rhymed, so I'm not going to do that. But basically, he, like, he prayed. And when he prayed, I think, and this is where we like talk about the glory, and it's like, what is the glory? Like, I will never know. You will never know. But when you catch a glimpse of this thing, and I don't think it's something you see, it's not something you hear, it's not something you like taste or touch, but it's something so beyond, and it's just a glimpse. And it's like you kind of feel everything all at once, and when you see that glory, when you catch a glimpse of that glory, everything else fades. And it's like when you thought that you could do something and it was gonna work out, it's like, yeah, maybe it would have worked out, but I don't care. I want God. I want what God has. I want what He wants to do. And so that, I think that realization, it broke me, because I was like, I've been trying to like get like this, what is wrong with me? What do you need me to do? Like, And He's like, why aren't you just like looking at me? And so I like come out, and I'm like going to Dale, because I'm like, oh, we need to practice for our prayer. And I'm just like sobbing. And she's like, she like says God. And I'm just like, oh, like, this doesn't happen to me. But like that happened. So I'm like, okay, like I'm just going to go worship. And so I come in here Thursday night, and I like postured myself. I had a dream like a couple days before, and I was like laying on the ground. And so like I was obsessed with just like laying on the ground, because I was like, maybe something's gonna happen when I lay on the ground. And so I like was like, I'm gonna go look at the cross and I'm gonna lay down. And as soon as I did that, I just started to weep over like what, like God. It's like catching a glimpse of His glory. And I think, I don't know, it's so beautiful, the fact that like we have no idea what God is doing, but He wants to reveal. It's like, have you ever like kind of made up the smell of smoke? Like you're just like sitting in your room and all of a sudden you like smell a fire. I don't know if this is real, but like, I think this is a thing. But it's the same thing where it's like, you're just like sitting there and all of a sudden you just have like a knowing of like, oh, God like wants to do something. Or like, and you have like, just like a, I don't know. And I think that's like, you should crave that, because that is what fuels all of this, is like God putting His heart into yours and God touching your heart. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think the call today is to let God make you weak. I think the call today is, I wrote this down, to posture yourself. And I think the call today is to ask God to make you not numb to what He's doing, and to make you not apathetic. And so it sounds a little bit scary, but it's also so beautiful. Like, there is no other cause that is worth giving your entire life to. There is nothing else that will fulfill you in the way that following God's plan and following God's desires will do. So I think this is really worth it. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, Audrey. Would you all stand as we move into a time of worship? And Audrey, could you just stay up here for a second? I do sense several invitations that the Lord is really moving us to surrender, to let our hearts be filled with His compassion for those that are around us. That it's not just for us, that you're here today, but there are people around you every day. Maybe it's family members that you've been praying for years and years, and you maybe have given up. I had a few of those that I had to say, Lord, I let my heart be calloused toward them, and I have not been praying for them to come into Your kingdom. Maybe it's people you work with. Maybe it's even in people in your immediate family, your neighborhood. And so would you just pray over us? If that is something that maybe you want to respond to, Lord, would you open my heart? Would you just pray over us, even whatever you sense?
Well, Jesus, You're so beautiful. If we've forgotten how beautiful You are, Lord, would You just remind us right now? Lord, You've healed us. You've restored us. Your blood has washed us clean.
Yes.
We're actually blameless before You. God, you are so beautiful. So Lord, we ascribe the glory and the strength. We ascribe the glory that is due your name. This is all unto you. Our communities, our workplaces, this city, this nation, it is all yours. It is all rightfully yours. Lord, would you burn in our hearts the desire to return everything back to its rightful place? Yes. Thank you that Champaign-Urbana is holy ground.
Yes,
Lord. What we stand on is holy ground. It is yours. So, Father, would you burn in our hearts the desire to give it all back to you?
Yes, Lord.
We just want you, Jesus. And if we don't feel like we just want you, would you make us? All the areas in our hearts that are closing off, would you peel them back? Would you peel them back, God? You're so beautiful. We love you. We honor you. All we want to do is tell you how holy you are. That's all we want to do. We love you, Lord.
Yeah, I know for some of us, God is calling you back to his heart. Maybe you've been far away. Maybe you've never even said yes to him, but you're here today and you're just like, I want to burn like that. And I've been very far away from the Lord. And so I just want to invite you that today might be a day that you say, I want to give it all to Jesus. I want to go both feet in. I even want to get baptized. And if you're just sensing that on your life and you want someone to process that with you, we have people over there at that baptism info sign. So Jesus, we just say, have your way in this place this morning. We honor, we worship you. This is for your glory, God. Let our lives reflect your glory. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.